Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Meg.
Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Woohoo! We made it.
We did. Another week, another show.
You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Mizar.
And hey, everyone. I'm Green Diva Gina.
And we have a special guest, Green Dude, in the studio today.
Yeah, we do.
Favorite green car guy, John Volker, who's over there waving. I'm like wishing I could take a picture of that right now.
Well, all right. We have Silent Green Dude Rob on the camera over there.
I'm sorry. I forgot about Silent Rob.
Who's actually videotaping.
He's so quiet.
I know. Well, that's
yeah, I better be nice to him. He's got the camera.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We want only flattering shots of us all beautiful green divas.
Correct.
Anyway, we have a very busy show today. And, of course, we're going to focus on the road, green cars, driving, road trips, and a variety of issues having to do with being on the road.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. You're driving that Prius hybrid plug-in.
Yes.
Which is part of the whole show today.
It is. Well, you know, I am in the market. I was explaining to John on the way over here. He was nice enough to come out of New York, so I picked him up from the train station. You know, he's got a nice carbon footprint. and I was explaining that I'm actually shopping for a car this year. It's during Sandy. I had two cars total. They were trashed by one tree, thank you very much, from the neighbor's yard. And so I decided I really think I want an electric or an electric hybrid, a plug-in hybrid. So what I've been doing is driving, and I guess Toyota, you know, caught on that I was doing that. And so they involved me in this 30-day MPG competition, Plug-In for Charity.
Okay, so where are you now? You were in third.
Yeah, stats.
You had dropped a little.
Yeah, I'm a loser.
No. Oh, come on.
No, I have dropped down below. There's four people on the top, and they said out of those four will be the three money winners. And the money all goes to charity. So I'm kind of bummed out that I probably won't be winning money for 11th Hour Rescue. And I'm pretty impressed because I'm getting some fantastic miles. You know, my MPGE is like up to 175, which I think is fantastic.
Fantastic? Right? Are you kidding?
That's unbelievable.
That's like an understatement.
Yeah.
So, and I'm doing my best to help get the word out about 11th Hour through the contest. And if anybody wants to donate, that would be fantastic. I was hoping to donate some winning money, but, you know, the other charities are all worthy and the other competitors are friends and colleagues in the New York area.
Right. Have you taken the car down to 11th Hour yet?
No, we were going to do that this week.
Yeah, you got to do that. Have a picture of Grace, you, and the folks at 11th Hour.
I know. Actually, the Daily Record was going to send a photographer.
Well,
and
okay.
And I've been waiting for a call, and I don't know, I got to get back on that.
Yes, get on that.
Anyway, what was I going to say? I was also telling John on the way over here, I love not putting gas in my car. I haven't been to I've had this car for 30 days already.
Oh, it's over?
Tomorrow is the last day.
Oh.
But they gave it to us a couple of days early to get used to. And the car has just less than a tank of gas. I have not
After 30 days?
After 30 days. Can you imagine?
You probably used up most of that gas on the way to my house.
Well, actually,
for that meeting, right?
My daughter, Carly, babysitting on Monday nights to help her out is what really did it. Because down, you know, she's like 30 miles away,
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
an 11-mile range. And even if I plug in, you know,
yeah.
But we do what we do as a yaya for our grandbabies.
Yeah. Correct.
Those cute little things.
They come first, Gracie. We love you.
Yeah, we
love
you.
But the grandbabies come first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm having a good time, and I'm really excited. John has been coming on to the show since, I think, 2006. I'm not sure, or 2007. Never met him. And we've, you know, corresponded. We've had a good time. And I really just think he is, you know, he is the final word on green cars, in my opinion. So it's just kind of fun to finally get to meet him, and I'm glad he came out. So we'll spend more time with him in the second part of the show. I want to mention buygreen.com, our wonderful sponsor.
Always.
But I was checking out what they have for road tripping, And, you know,
Good idea.
They have filtered water bottles, you know, stainless steel. They're not the glass bottles that I know you love.
Right.
But they have filters in them because if you're on the road and you just have to go to a rest stop and get water, you know.
That's so smart.
Right?
It is. Well, yeah. We have those too.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, we do. But Ooh. Do they have, it's like, well, there's lots of other bottles out there too, no, but they chose the stainless steel and not like.
And it has that insert.
Yeah.
For that's, the
it's probably a carbon filter.
Yeah, probably.
We have others that we. I mean, yeah. You know what? They're
good.
Well worth.
Right.
Well and, worth the
and
price.
And they had like a spork, you know, like a small spork thing, so that you know, yeah, if you just.
I love those things.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also wanted
Wait,
to.
Do we all know what a spork is?
Wait.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good. Just in case.
Do we have an example?
No.
Oh no no.
Okay.
She got something else though. And,
no, I wanted to show off, and I don't know where the camera is. Hello.
It's over there. Over there.
Rob went away. He went away.
It was a voice from below. I'm over here. I'm
He's
down
there.
Here. But this is the one that made out. Did you get that at buygreen.com?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that. Darn it! I just whacked my
this
mic.
This is English or English retread. I don't know if he's like. Zooming in on it. It's so much fun having a camera now. I'm like, hello.
Now
feel
we
like
show
Carol Merrill.
Yeah.
We show off all of our products that we're testing or saying. Like, it's just a huge advantage.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, I'm grabbing the English retreads are made from tires and other, you know,
inner
old
tube,
tires.
Like inner tubes, yeah. Right? Those things. I mean, that's brilliant. You had that in Detroit when we were there in January.
Well, it was so appropriate for
and
Detroit,
And I
right?
was so amazed at, like, she was like, you know Mary Poppins when she comes in with her carpet bag?
Yeah.
And she starts pulling everything out of it, the lamp and the measuring tape. She got more stuff into that purse. That little, I think because it expands or something. She just kept pulling stuff out. It was like, wait a minute. It's
like
not
Mary
even that
Poppins'
big.
Magical bag.
It was.
But it's magic.
It is. I was very impressed. I mean, like, what else you got in there?
I know. So anyway, buygreen.com has a whole bunch, and they have wallets for dudes, you know.
Yeah.
That are made from inner tubes.
Oh, cool.
I also
that would have been a great Father's Day gift when we did that post a while back.
Yeah, did we not include that?
We didn't include those wallets.
There's so much good stuff, man.
Well, we've got Christmas and Hanukkah and all the other holidays coming up soon enough.
Hanukkah.
Okay.
Now, I also want to mention that we have a new app. We've got an app, people.
Yes, I've downloaded it. I was so proud of myself that I actually was able to do this.
You know how exciting this thing is? Like, it not only is it exciting to see a little icon on my iPhone that's like our logo. But you go to it, and yes, it's exciting. It goes right to the Buzzsprout page, and you could just hit play. You know, it's very simple. But it enabled me, especially in this Prius, because I'm all synced up with the Bluetooth, I could play the show on the radio in the car.
Right.
I was like, oh,
so
my
you
God.
So you can do a little self-criticism, which is good, constructive criticism, which is what I do, because I listen to it before I go to sleep at night.
Really?
You know? Yeah, like on a Saturday or sometimes Sunday morning when Antonio's watching the soccer games.
That's right.
And I'll just put my ear and I'll just kind of listen along. But of course, now there's no soccer games because it's a summer.
I'm always surprised how much I actually enjoy the show.
I think it's great.
This is like be humble day, Meg.
No, I'm always prepared, you know, kind of flinching
to cringe.
And ready to go like, oh God, why did I say that?
Yes.
And then I think, oh, actually, we're pretty funny. We have fun and we give some good information.
Yeah.
We give good info.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I really want people to go. If you go to thegreendivas.com, on the menu bar on the left side.
On the website?
Yes, on the website.
Yeah.
It says Get the Green Divas app, and it explains how to do it. It's for iPhone, iPad, iPod, and Android.
We've got it all covered.
Wow.
Mostly.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, there's a few people that get left out, but you know.
That's all right.
John, what are you playing with over there? What phone is that?
Okay,
it's an Android.
So
well, you can
it.
Get our app. It's
right.
Okay.
Got to go get
it's
the app.
It's a fancy schmancy little, the one that flips up like that.
I think
but
he's
not
working on
up,
it
whatever.
Right now.
Yeah,
I can
it's very
see
good.
He's busy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All good.
So also coming up, we have a Green Divas Foodie File report from Green Diva Gina.
Yes, yes. Well, this
and
week.
And if we have any left, she brought in some.
I've cuffed myself off.
Piglet has been eating a lot, I see.
Yes. Yeah, and he's quite messy.
Messy little piglet. But you have some granola for the road. And also, you did a wonderful post today.
Oh, thanks.
With some 6 easy, healthy snacks for road tripping.
Yes.
And also, you had a list of the top 10
healthiest
food chains that you might find while you're on the road.
Because, you know, if you stop at a rest stop, some of them are just all you have. The fast food franchises have got their foot in those doors.
Well, yeah, like the Connecticut State Thruway or whatever. Yes. They have a contract with McDonald's.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, just I used to drive back and forth to New Hampshire like once or twice a month. And I know that like on my whole ride, it's all fast food except for maybe one or two places,
right.
You know. And so even just a 6-hour drive, it's just helpful to know what kinds of foods aren't going to make you feel gross.
So we'll do that. We'll do that in a minute. Save good stuff. And then GD Mizar, Green Diva Mizar. My notes. I'm reading my notes. GD Mizar, which could mean a lot of things. Grateful Dead Mizar, for instance.
Gosh darn Mizar.
You've got a DIY post for healthy air freshener for a car.
Yes.
A potpourri, as it were.
Well, it's not really a potpourri, but it is an air freshener. And it's a very necessary thing.
Yeah, because, you know, those car. Have you ever gotten into a car where someone just put, like, one of those really nasty... I mean, I can almost get a headache instantly.
Oh, the little hanging air fresheners? Yeah. I do. And, yes, apart from the fact that they give you headaches, there's a lot of toxic stuff in those air fresheners.
We were more than people know.
We were talking about that before the show, and I was horrified.
Yeah, it is. But it has very easy recipes and some other easy things you can do. One easy recipe and things you can do to keep your car fresh, because heaven knows,
keep it fresh.
Sometimes you get in those cars and it's funstunkene.
Actually, I like the post isn't up yet, but it will be probably this afternoon.
Yes, it will.
And right now it's called Who Cut the Cheese?
Yeah, well, it was a working title. That's kind of funny.
A work in progress.
But doesn't that always happen when you're on the road, in the car?
Well, if it's not us, it's the dog, you know.
Well, it's always the dog, Megan.
It's always the dog.
Crazy.
Or the barking spider.
What?
You never heard of a barking spider?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anyway, I think we should talk about some food. So.
Sure.
If you've ever listened to the Green Divas radio show, you know the Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, artisanal, delicious food. Green Diva Foodie Flashes are all about good food, recipes, keeping a green kitchen, food safety issues, and the environmental impact of the food we eat. Be prepared to get hungry.
How do you like your new intro?
I love it. It's so great. I love the ending the best. Be prepared to get hungry.
Be prepared to get... Yeah, poor John doesn't have a headset on, so he couldn't hear.
Do these work?
Yeah, they do.
All right. Well, let's see if he wants to, you know, shimmy on over here.
I you know, sorry, John. I thought we don't have any... Okay.
He's busy, sorry.
He's busy.
So... He's doing his phone thing.
He's a multitasking guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Go, G.
Yes. So, as someone who's been on a few road trips... And I'm sure you ladies have as well. And many of our listeners are probably planning summer road trips.
Well, we're at the end of the summer now. And these are the big big vacation weeks, these last 3-4 weeks.
It's
a lot of road tripping.
Yeah. And especially, you know, with the Prius, you might want to, you know, when you contemplate getting a car, you might want to take a nice road trip if there's all these little refill stations, which are promised.
Oh,
you know?
Mean the charging stations?
The charging stations, yeah.
So what I did is I came up with 6 snacks that are really... accessible and packable for road trips, as well as a list of restaurant chains that are Green Diva approved and they're very healthy.
Yeah, I saw that. I like that. Not only are there the top 10 healthiest chains that you might encounter on the road, but if you go to the link that you gave, and I can't remember the name of it, but if you go to the link that you gave in the post, it also goes into detail about the healthiest things on each restaurant's menu.
So then at least you know how many calories you're getting, the fat content, maybe how you can modify it a little bit. You know, even like restaurants like Starbucks or different things, you know, you can figure out like what
Why isn't there a Chipotle at every rest stop?
Is that a healthy... See, I avoid fast food.
Chipotle's number 6.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a Chipotle. I've never had a Taco Bell. I've avoided those forever.
Well, the thing about Chipotle is they do a lot of local organic...
Really?
Food. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm just going to have to become a patron then.
Yeah, no, they're actually breaking barriers in becoming the first chain to really...
Wow. What's number 1, Gina?
Number 1 is Panera Bread.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
They're good, too.
They're good because they offer you an apple instead of chips, which I always take.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, though, Panera Bread.
But if it's not organic, man, you're eating some gnarly pesticides.
Well, we can peel the apple.
Just saying.
With the skin, you're so right. Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw that whole Dirty Dozen thing where, you know, the
yes. Yeah, apples are one of the main offenders. Yeah. I agree. I agree with that. But
I'm sorry.
And I like the skin of the apple.
That's my favorite part.
Although it used to make me burp. The pectin in there used to make me burp.
Really?
I know that's not very ladylike, but yes, it did.
So you'll say the B word, but not the F word for
gas. It's not.
I'm just giving her grief.
But burp is, would you rather have me say? We just lost John Volker.
I think I just made him snarf his
tea. Burp is okay. Belching is a little more crass.
Yeah.
Okay. But we digress.
We digress.
It's true.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
No. So I'll read off maybe the first, like, top five. But the top five that came up were Panera Bread was number one. And then there was Jason's Deli, which I haven't heard of, but I think
I've never
it's
heard
in
of
the
that.
Midwest.
Okay. All right.
And then Au Bon Pain.
Okay. Au bon pain.
Au bon pain.
Au bon pain. Au bon pain. Au bon pain. Okay.
Then another one called Noodles and Company, which I think is out west.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I guess.
And then Corner Bakery Cafe.
Never heard of it either.
Chipotle was number six. And then actually the thing that surprised me the most.
Yeah.
Number eight was McDonald's.
What?
Because it depends on like what you order.
Yeah.
Well, if you get the salad, it's good, but then if you put that dressing on there, have you ever read the ingredients on that dressing, on those
it's
dressings?
It's probably disgusting.
It is. Mm-hmm. You're better off, and if McDonald's wants to maybe inch its way up, it should offer oil and vinegar packets.
Yeah,
because those creamy dressings will kill you.
Yeah.
Will kill you.
There's cholesterol in them.
Yeah.
So those were the top restaurants, and if you want to check out more exactly what's on the menu for each restaurant, feel free to check out the post. But we also have different things that you can pack when you go on a road trip.
Yeah.
So, you know, I came up with this granola recipe, which my good friend Nadia gave to me a few years ago.
We love you, Nadia.
So thanks, Nadia.
Where's the one with the chocolate in it?
They both have chocolate.
Okay,
except
good.
In this one, I ate most of the cranberries.
<She did. laughs>
It's
so
terrible.
I'll post.
I'm crunching.
I will post that recipe later, but the recipe I posted was more of like a foundation, but this recipe is meant to kind of be molded to whatever you want.
Right. So instead of cranberries, you could put dried blueberries
or
mango
dried apple
or anything
or,
you want without the skin, by the way.
Get creative, people.
Yeah.
I mean, what I did with this is you want a base of rolled oats, not quick oats, just the regular rolled oats.
Well, can I just say this is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, I don't agree. You can tell by the fact that there's like hardly left
homemade.
In my bowl.
Piglet
it's so good. Yeah, piglet
so
you did actually.
I did rolled oats, pecans, walnuts, almonds, and then I did sunflower seeds.
Now, do you roast the seeds a little bit? You roast everything, right?
Everything I roasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I added coconut for the... You have to kind of mix it in with some like homemade sweeteners. So what I did is I have a bunch of New Hampshire maple syrup. So I did that with cinnamon and nutmeg, honey, vanilla.
Oh, the flavor.
And then
is
coconut
so good.
Oil. I did instead of olive oil. So it kind of like bring out the coconut more. And then at the end, after it was completely cooled, I added dark semi-sweet chocolate with cranberries.
Whole cranberries.
Whole cranberries.
Big whole cranberries. Oh. I have very bad news, everybody.
Yeah.
Piglet has done a header into the granola.
He has.
Too much chocolate and coconut.
And this is great because, you know, you can mold it to fit breakfast. You don't have to put chocolate in if you don't want it for breakfast. But if you want more fruit or if you want it
in
yogurt.
Like, you know, for the kids.
Well, in my homemade yogurt.
Yeah.
There you go.
Totally
so,
good.
So, like, if you have kids in the back, you can give them each a little bag or a little container of their own.
And
Easily.
You know what? If they're little kids, you're right. Skip the chocolate because that gets messy.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
it can melt and everything like that. So, you know, they don't need the chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean, they do, but.
Mommy needs the chocolate.
Well, okay. Yeah. We'll just go from
there. That was the recipe I posted, but there's tons of other things you can pack.
Right.
You know?
So I think the post, everybody should go to thegreendivas.com.
Yeah, because it goes into detail.
That post.
You know, and you know what I'd like? And hopefully folks who read the post will offer suggestions as well. Like,
sure.
Other, since my mother
so many ideas.
Would hard-boiled eggs.
That's included.
Oh, no.
Did you put
I
it
included
in there?
You
put it in there?
And I cited
brilliant.
You. I cited
oh,
you.
Oh, I haven't read the post yet. Brilliant.
Okay.
Mama will be happy.
Okay.
Yes.
We're going to do, we're going to close this up, do a break, and then when we come back, we're going to have John Volker, Green Car Dude. Oh, no, yeah, but he'll be on the mic with us.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're next.
Hungry yet? For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenaid makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at greenaid.co.
Hi, I'm Mariel Hemingway, and you're listening to Green Divas Radio, and you're loving your life.
Reduce, recycle, reuse, and if you're feeling creative, repurpose. Repurposing is one of Green Diva Mizar's favorite DIY things to do, and it's fun.
Here we go. Hello!
Okay, we're going to get right into it with this. You guys are making fun of me.
We were.
Because I can't say the F-A-R-T word.
No, we're having fun with you. Yeah, we were making fun of you.
You're making fun of me. Come on. I know. Listen, but in our house, we call it poofering.
Poofering. Okay. Everybody's got their own word. Somebody could come blowing a rose, whatever.
I don't know that it would ever be roses around my house. But it's cute.
So
it's cute.
John's on the mic with us now.
Let's say hi to John. Hi, John.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Doesn't he have a great voice?
He does.
I love his voice.
He does. All right. So we're talking cars all day today, John, because you're here, and we tried to find lots of different things that we can do that are sustainable for the cars and healthy for the cars. We had Gina do our healthy snacks and...
And yours, how to control the indoor environment of the car?
You said that so well.
The air quality.
I basically started out that it's a foregone conclusion. Someone is going to let one go in the car if you're on a long road trip.
This, by the way, is the premise of her post, which we will be posting this
afternoon. Yes, the working title is Who Cut the Cheese? But yeah. Okay, but that may or may not work or be there. But it is inevitable. And then sometimes if you get into an old car, there's like a latent stink that may have been there from...
Really? Previous poofers?
No. No, any other
lingering
number.
Poofers?
Like, no, spilled food or spilled milk.
I got you.
Or, gym clothes.
You mean like that time that I left the leftover filet mignon that we got from the takeout? Like a leftover from a restaurant and it went under the seat and I forgot about it.
How long?
A few days.
In the summertime.
Yeah. Or dogs.
Yeah, or dogs.
Cats,
yeah.
Or mildew.
Oh, yeah.
Or that thing that your teenage son's friend brought home that you're not quite sure what it is, but you don't want to touch it.
Yeah.
I've seen one or two of those.
Yeah. And then there's always the cat that doesn't drive well and likes to barf in the car. And, you do your best to clean it up.
Right, so no matter what, your car is going to stink. Sooner or later, you're going to lose that new car smell.
Unless you're Wayne, my husband. He's like the most... I don't know, OCD guy, whatever. His car is still 3 years later.
Does he let anybody eat in the car?
No.
Nobody smokes in the car?
No.
Do people poofer in the car?
First things first, does he let anyone else in the car ever?
Okay.
That's your first problem.
right. That's funny.
So if he's poofering, he's not telling anybody. It's what it comes down to. All right. So all of that apart, those sort of like ubiquitous... Pine tree.
Oh, yeah.
Air fresheners.
Yeah. The ones that give you a migraine instantly?
They give me a headache. Yeah, I don't like them. And sometimes somebody said, just cut the plastic and just drop the plastic down little by little. It's still, and I'm prone to migraines.
So strong.
Very strong. Well, that's because they're full of phthalates. If you look at the post.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot pronounce the
toxins
in there, but a lot of them have adverse effects.
So you have So you go into the gory details of all that, but then you offer some.
Yeah. All right. So there's three very simple things that I like. What did your grandmother put in the refrigerator? A box of baking soda.
Right.
I still do that.
Yeah.
You can put that under a seat.
Yeah.
Jeff Yeager, the ultimate cheapskate.
Our favorite cheapskate dude.
Dryer sheets. You can tuck them here and there, and then you can even, I had read somewhere to duct tape them over your vents, but don't use duct tape because that leaves a residue.
Oh, yeah.
Use masking tape.
Okay.
Masking tape, it will work just as well if you want to tape it over your vents. But even if you just kind of strategically...
Why would you cover your vent? I don't get it.
Well, because
you want
the
air?
The air will come through the dryer sheet and make it all smell nice,
okay.
Right?
Tape the dryer sheet to
the vent.
A filter.
Right,
like
but don't use duct tape because it will leave...
It.
It's a mess.
I understand, yes.
It's a mess. And then one of my favorites are whole coffee beans.
Really?
If you go to a perfume shop, I mean, one that specializes in perfumes,
right. Yeah.
They'll have you smell a perfume. Then they'll have you stick your nose into a glass jar of coffee beans to get rid of the smell and to start all over again. So coffee beans, just whole coffee beans. And you can put them in a jar. You can put them in your ashtray, whatever, anywhere you want in the car. And then there's a great recipe, and it's such a simple recipe. It's baking soda, your essential oil.
Right, like if you like lavender
jar,
or lemon or
well,
whatever.
You know, we're lavender.
I know.
I was about to use a bad word.
Really?
Yeah, we're lavender whores. I know.
Is that such a bad word? I mean, everybody kind of has... I was going to use another bad word to describe it, but, you know, it's been bastardized, so it's not so bad anymore. Everybody, you know.
Yeah, but we shouldn't call ourselves that.
We're
divas.
Okay.
We're lavender divas.
There you go.
Remember, you have some delicate and fragile blossoms here in the guest seat who might be shocked and
faint. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, John, yeah. I know. Poor John. I'm sorry. I know. Like, poor guy.
Listen, I will not say the F-A-R-T word in front
all
of you.
All the way out on the train for this abuse, you know?
Yes. Okay. So that's a really clever recipe, and you need just a gossamer fabric, like a burlap or a lace.
Yeah, tie it up.
You take off. We can do that. But no, you leave the jar with the baking powder and the essential oil in there. And then you put the lace or burlap or what have cheesecloth over and you screw the lid back on.
Oh.
You don't put the metal plate on the mason jar.
Okay.
All right? Screw the back and you put that all over the place. It avoids
spillage.
So you need
one of those mason top jars with the two pieces.
With the two pieces.
That's
and you
right.
just don't, and you can find them everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And
my local hardware store has them.
And you can even buy them at thrift stores and other places like that. So go for it. Baking soda is your grandmama's favorite recipe, and it's one of the things I use all the time.
It
I have
really
kitties.
Is like magical.
It is magic. And when the kitties make an accident, baking soda.
Baking
right
soda
there.
Does the trick.
Yes, it does.
All right, check out the post later today.
Poofer away.
For step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcasts, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
All right.
This is the Green Guru.
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, he's the Green Car Guru.
Yeah.
You probably have a lot of monikers. I know you're a senior editor of GreenCarReports.com and High Gear Media.
Yep.
These are the Bibles, folks.
Do you mind that we call you our favorite green car dude?
I'm honored.
Oh,
I never knew that. I'm like, he's probably going, you know, whatever.
GreenCarReports.com, GreenDivas.com. It kind of works.
Yeah,
it does.
It's
right? We know it. We all have the same agenda here, which is not a hidden one. It's an informative one.
And I've actually been a car fanatic. I grew up with a father who was a car fanatic, and it's kind of genetic. So, you know, I come by it naturally, and it's kind of fun because there's not as many girl car, you know, folks out there. So I'm having fun. And John was really, you know, I'm following his lead to a degree, but becoming sort of a green car diva reviewer.
But
you know,
but we need to be there. Yeah. Not only just reviewer, we need to be green car drivers, period.
Well,
because,
everybody
you
does.
Know,
everybody
we really does. Have to. Megan, I just realized something, though.
What?
Clearly, you have motor oil in your veins.
I
yeah?
do.
You do.
I really
right?
do.
Okay.
So, John, you know, I've been watching... I always read your articles and I see your posts on Facebook, and you've been writing a lot of things the last six articles I noticed, and one of them I knew would get Mizar's attention, and that was about the compliance cars that it, you know, because we complain about it because we want that Fiat 500E
convertible. And in orange with the white interior and the orange trim.
She hasn't been obsessing about that or anything.
No.
Not on the website configuring at all.
No.
But, you know, we're a little annoyed because it's a compliance car. And we're not going to get it here in New Jersey. But you wrote something recently about, you know, a compliance car not being the worst thing for electric car, you know, raising the, what's the word I'm looking for? The awareness and the, well, you just take over. You know what I'm talking about.
So just to recap, in case we got any new view, compliance cars are those that are built by makers just to meet California rules on the minimum number of zero emission vehicles that get sold. And there are six car makers that are subject to those rules. Nissan sells the Leaf, and they sell tens of thousands of them, so they're not thinking about minimums at all. But then GM and Ford and Chrysler and Toyota and Honda all have to sell a certain number of zero-emission vehicles. And they've all created these cars that are sold only in California and sometimes other states, maybe Oregon, because that counts toward the California numbers. What's been interesting is they've turned out to be really great cars. Compliance car, to some people, said, oh, fine, we'll make a car. You want an electric car, we'll make you an electric car.
But right. We're only making you 1,200 of them. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, auto engineers take pride in what they do. I went to the Fiat 500e launch. I think the engineers were shocked how good a car they had actually designed. It's got better weight distribution than the regular 500. It's a whole lot quicker. It's quieter. It vibrates less.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, and their CEO has said, we don't want to make this car.
Sergio.
We're losing. Sorry?
Sergio. The CEO.
She's saying it in Italian.
Ah.
Sergio.
Ah, yes.
Yes. I say Sergio. I'm sorry. So he said he doesn't want to
make
the car?
I think of him through Detroit. Sergio.
Sergio.
But, yes. And to be fair, Chrysler has a lot bigger problems than electric cars right now. Like, they have to figure out how to design cars that people actually want to buy. They're good on trucks and minivans. Their cars have not been so good. So they've got much bigger problems as a global corporation. But they've got a compliance car that's great. The Toyota RAV4 EV, fully electric crossover, over 100 miles of range with a powertrain designed by Tesla. Sounds like a pretty good...
Oh, hello. Yeah.
And the Honda Fit EV, five-door subcompact hatchback, also fun to drive, also quick with a really powerful motor. You know, these are great cars. We'll never see them outside California, but why they turned out to be good, you know, and a lot of my readers and probably a lot of your folks, too, you know, why are they doing this? Why don't they understand? Car makers, by their nature, are relatively conservative. It's a big dollar business, long lead times. They're not quite there yet, although Tesla has really shaken them all up in a way that I think they're still trying to process, especially after they declared a second profit yesterday on the earnings call. But what happened with the compliance cars is when you only sell them in one place, your dealers aren't really into it because they know you're only ever going to sell 1,200 of them. So the dealers aren't particularly good with selling compliance cars. The pricing initially, especially on the Honda, was expensive. I think it was, I want to say, $389 a month for a subcompact. And there was a mileage limit.
Yeah.
And in the end, what was happening was they weren't selling enough of these cars, even at $40 or $50 a month. So they started pulling down the prices. And all of the compliance cars, to a greater or lesser extent, have had price cuts, and the low-volume ones as well. They're not strictly compliance cars, but they're nowhere near it. So I happened to drive 2 days ago the Smart Electric Drive convertible.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a Mercedes.
Yes.
Yes, technically a Mercedes is a smart
it's
car.
The little
right?
sawed-off half
I
a
know,
car.
I know. I spent many years in Rome, and in Rome, having gone there over and over in the last 7 years, I mean, those smart cars are brilliant for Rome. But the thing is, sometimes you see, you know, how'd they get that car in there? But they do. Rome is a nightmare.
Yeah. And a smart's amazing. It's got room for 2 6-foot-plus adults in it.
Yeah.
You just don't realize that the car ends 18 inches behind your backside.
Yeah, it's like a sawed-off car. I call it sawed-off. It's not good for highway driving here, though.
Well, I actually see somebody going up the thruway every Friday in one, which is amazing, between two semis. But they are best as urban cars. Their prime virtue is you can park them anywhere, yeah. like you said. But at this point, that's an old car. The electric smart is actually what it should have been 15 years ago.
Yeah, no you kidding.
Know, no shifting, no engine noises. And the car is actually designed with a double floor. So they just sort of slot the battery right in under the floor in a space that's already there.
Interesting.
So that's a low volume car. They just announced a $139 lease. $139 a month.
That, but is that just in California?
No, that's nationwide.
Oh, so I could get a little smart car. Yep.
See, I think you have to hook me up with their people. I think I should drive that for. Don't
oh,
you?
Oh, come
think?
On, give me a chance to drive a car. Never mind. Give her the
I'm
smart.
I'm going
to
let
take,
you sort out the
I'll
test
take
cars
the Tesla.
You.
Okay, I forgot. Just give her the smart. I'll take the Tesla. How's that?
Good.
Good luck.
So, in any case, all of these compliance cars, in order to sell the numbers they need to avoid very expensive fines from the state of California,
right.
they've said, okay, what do you do if it's not selling? You pull the price down. Honda was absolutely swamped with buyers when they
when
reduced
they
the price
it.
From, it was, I believe, $389 to $259, plus or minus 10. I wrote about it. Check the site.
recently.
All of a sudden, Honda dealers had waiting lists of 20 and 30 and 40 people wanting to lease these cars. And they took the mileage limit off, too. So you can do as many miles as you want. Now, Honda is not changing its plans or its production schedule. But what it meant was that between $199 leases on a Nissan Leaf, the new lease on the Smart, all of a sudden, just to stay within the law, the car makers have pulled down the prices on these compliance cars because people don't know they exist, even in California.
Now, are they going to up the production now?
No.
No.
See, this is the
that
thing about compliance cars.
That stinks.
It does.
But, and this is the thing, when you're looking at sort of 40,000 volts and 30,000 Leafs, 1,100 Honda Fit EVs over 3 years,
So
right?
they don't have any Honda Fits here in the East Coast,
no.
right? Okay.
But they don't. Do they have Leafs here?
Oh, yeah.
I've
the
seen
Leaf
Leafs
is now
here.
Nationwide.
Yes. Okay,
you can
so.
Go into pretty much any
That's
Nissan dealer.
That's a full production car,
That's,
right?
And they're now making them in Tennessee.
Really?
That's not imported from Japan anymore. They're making them along with Altimas and Maximas.
Yeah.
And they're making the batteries in Tennessee
oh,
as
in
well.
Oh, in Tennessee.
Yeah. So the
that
whole
is such
idea
good
is
news.
The compliance cars have brought down the prices overall, and that's making electric cars more accessible. And 2 days ago, 3 days ago, they lowered the price of the 2014 Volt by $5,000.
Yeah, I did see that too. That's kind of a big deal.
So
that's
it went from
deal.
40 grand sticker price to 35.
So they're okay. now competing with the Prius plug-in.
Yes.
You know, it's getting down to a more comparable range,
and
right?
In your Prius plug-in, one of the questions that we've actually been talking about amongst sort of the media is Toyota going to have to pull down the price of the Prius plug-in? Because as Ford introduced its two plug-ins,
yeah, the C-Max.
Sales of the Prius plug-ins have sort of been trailing off.
Well, the C-Max is a competitor of the Prius plug-in.
Absolutely.
I mean, direct competitor,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I've driven them both now, and they definitely run, you know, very close. My just to digress a bit, my complaint about it is I wish it had a longer range. The 11 miles or 12 whatever miles just isn't cut.
The Prius has 11
miles? The plug-in,
mile?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a 12-mile max.
Yeah. Well, and more than that, it's rated by the EPA at 11 miles. But the EPA test cycles, which are pretty gentle, it couldn't even do the whole test cycle in electric range.
Oh, my.
The electric motor is relatively small.
Yeah.
It actually had to flip on the engine just
yeah.
to complete that
yeah.
time. So we have a whole range of ranges now.
Yeah.
yeah.
You've got the Prius on the bottom with 11.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Honda Accord plug-in hybrid just in California at the moment.
Okay.
But that is going to be
really
a full national car.
It sounds,
they're going
well,
very
yeah.
slowly. It's their
yeah.
first plug-in.
Oh, so I can't get one of those yet?
Fly to California. We'll talk.
Okay.
They've only sold 250
All
so
right.
far in
so
the whole country.
Test,
so they're
big toe in the
I would wait 6 months.
They're going carefully.
You know, it's one of those yeah. things. You never buy it when it's the first one out of the mm-hmm. chute.
So the Accord plug-in has more range. I want to say 15. It's on the fueleconomy.gov site. The
okay.
two Fords are rated at 21 miles, the Fusion Energy and the C-Max Energy. Then you've got the Volt at 38 miles, okay? And then you have a whole crew of battery-only cars, no backup engine.
The Leaf,
right,
the
50,
Tesla,
60,
Tesla.
70s.
Yeah.
And then Tesla's at the top end, 208 or 265 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here's a weird question, and
sure.
I don't know why it occurred to me. You said they dropped back on the miles for the leases. They eliminated
right.
the
miles
range.
Cap,
yeah.
Does a car, an electric vehicle, or an electric plug-in hybrid have the same kind of wear and tear as a fuel engine, as a regular gasoline engine?
It's a great question. The engine gets used in the Prius you're driving, Meg, less because you drive more on electric.
Right.
Now, if you're being a traveling salesman and hammering out 200 miles, it's going to look basically like a regular Prius in terms of usage. But if you use it around town, plug it in religiously, as you did.
If you were driving 200 miles a day or whatever, you wouldn't have this plug-in, I don't think.
It wouldn't give you a whole lot more over a standard Prius.
Right.
But so the more electric miles you do, the less the engine gets used. The Chevy Volt, actually, Volt owners do about two-thirds of all their miles on grid power. Okay. GM has all this data now, and Volt owners compete to see who can buy gas the least, who can get the best, the best blended gas mileage.
They get very MPGE or whatever. Yeah.
They get very cranky that the in-car display maxes out at 250 miles a gallon.
Mm.
They're like, oh, that's ridiculous. I'm at least at 600 miles a gallon. So, but the Volt has to have a mode where it asks your permission to switch on its engine and circulate all the fluids, because you could go for months and months and months,
so
only use electric. And so it's good for the car to have to work
once in a while, because it just lubricates everything.
Exactly.
But, but the follow-up question is what kind of maintenance does the electric engine need? It's a different, obviously a different maintenance schedule.
Almost none. If you have a Nissan Leaf, tires and wiper blades.
Seriously?
Yeah. There is a once annual inspection where you go in, they'll run diagnostics on your battery. You know, there at some point somebody's going to have a battery pack where one of the cells goes out,
right?
And then they'll take it out, take it apart, drop in a new module, that kind of thing. And that's probably under warranty. There's some details about the warranties, but a pure electric car, you know, these days you don't do your ball joints every 6,000 miles like you used to.
Right.
There's a lot less maintenance in modern cars, but if you take out the engine and the transmission, you've removed a huge swath of it. You know.
Yeah.
And the brakes. Hybrid.
Yeah.
A hybrid and any electric car uses instead of using friction brakes, they turn the electric motor into a generator to recharge the battery pack when you brake, right? So you may not be touching your friction brakes. I've heard people who haven't had to replace brake pads on a Prius for 80 or 90,000 miles.
Yeah, I'll tell you, braking is a whole new thing for me. I've learned because I've been driving all of these cars where the regenerative. Thank you.
Well, he's the expert, right?
The braking system. So I'm like loving braking. I love braking everywhere because most of the cars have sort of an educational graphic that helps you learn and understand. The Ford in particular has this little circle job that it's great, and it gives you a little rating. So you start to understand how you brake and how to use it to
maximize the electric or whatever battery. The case is. Cool. Cool.
There's sort of a video game aspect to it almost.
Yes, there is.
Even for people who sort of don't do gun-based video games.
Oh, thank goodness, because I don't. Done.
What you're doing is seeing how much energy you can recapture. And there's nothing like, you know, all right, so that light just turned red. So instead of accelerating up to it and then ramming on my brakes, I'm going to lift off. Car starts to regenerate. And then I know how the car brakes. I'll brake right up to the light. And the little circle goes around. And then it says 100% of available energy recaptured. And you're like, yes.
Oh, wow. It's like a game. Yeah.
Well,
it really
in fact,
is a game.
When I was out in Detroit at Ford the last time, we had a little contest. I think it was the Fiesta. Is it the Fiesta? Fiesta has a hybrid, and they have a regenerative
Fusion, probably.
Oh, you're right. It probably was the Fusion. Anyway, they had a little, and who was the braking ninja or something? I don't know what it was. I didn't win.
Or as I was saying to you, everybody assumes, because I run Green Car Reports, that I'm going to be sort of the Uber economy driver. There are some extremely competitive members of the auto press who I am not going to go up against. But B, I'd much rather drive the car
the way you would
on
drive
a conservative side. But yeah, the way normal people use cars. Normal people, you have to accelerate away from lights.
Right.
And
right.
You know, I love
that's life.
I asked John when I got into this thing with the Toyota. You know, what's your advice? How do I maximize my MPGE? The best thing I heard about from anybody was, imagine that there's an egg, a raw egg, between your foot and the pedal. Mm. And when you go to accelerate, you don't want to break the egg. And that's pretty much so. You're like, ugh.
So gunning the engine is gone.
Yep. In all cars, and you learn that it's not just in hybrids and electrics, but in all cars.
Well, of course. But, you know, tell that to a 17-year-old boy with his new first car.
You really learn that when you are seeing these graphics. And most of these hybrids and electrics have these graphics. They're a little different. But they all show you when you go into power mode and you watch the MPG drop off, you know, almost. And I was going to say something, but I lost it.
The car makers are trying to educate people more about gas mileage and things that affect it in general. Ford in specific, because Ford's in an interesting situation right now. Both the Fusion hybrid and the C-Max hybrid, not the plug-ins, the regular hybrids, are rated at 47 miles a gallon, which is an astounding figure. You know, very close to the Prius. But
is that true? I mean, I know that they've gotten some flack about their numbers not
A lot of cars dealers or manufacturers have gotten flack.
And we've actually written about this. The fueleconomy.org site from the EPA lets you say, okay, I have this year, make, and model of a car. Here is the gas mileage I've achieved on average. And you're basically crowdsourcing real-world results. And if you look at them, people with Hondas often overachieve the EPA ratings. Toyota Priuses and other hybrids tend to come within sort of 5, 10, 12%. Mm-hmm. And everybody gives you 12%, you know, 10 or 12%.
Okay.
The Fords, a lot of them are not even within 20%. Designed a car that has an electric motor just powerful enough where you do a lot more of the test cycle in electric mode than in actual real-world driving. And so Ford has started to put out – they also did an update of the cars to change some of the control software to make them better. But they also put out this video that said, essentially, here are myths about gas mileage. What's real? What's not?
Right.
You know, turn off your air conditioning and open the windows.
Right.
Works around town.
Right.
But as soon as you get above about 40 miles a gallon, the aerodynamic drag is so bad.
Yeah.
It's much better to run the air conditioning and keep all your windows shut.
Right.
And so on and so on.
Dying in this car driving locally.
Because you had like the hottest week of the year.
105 degrees. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. You know. Yeah.
That was bad. It was bad for a while. But John, just because this is a question out of my ignorance. Cars can last. I don't lease. I buy.
Okay.
It's just more cost effective. It really is. All right, so my Subaru is now 12 years old, and she is just about out of breath.
I have a 2000 Subaru, too.
I love that car. It's my favorite car I've ever gotten.
We'll have a moment after the show.
Okay, good.
A Subaru
you, me,
moment.
And our Subarus. Yeah. Well, my Subaru, but anyway. Electric cars.
Yep.
Is their longevity different? Can you expect to keep it longer because there is no transmission, no engine? Or is it standard? Like, can you expect 10 years, 12, 15, what? I don't know.
It's a great question. It's probably one of the most important questions in the long term. There are sort of two answers. The first answer is that all batteries, do over time lose capacity. You know, your laptop batteries or your phone batteries are probably an extreme example. Car batteries are much, much more carefully controlled. Most car makers liquid cool them. Actually, they have liquid circulating through it. They have a radiator. Electric car batteries tend to want to be like humans at about 70 degrees. Okay,
that's good. That's perfect.
So, you know, they get
hotter.
Water
cooled, or is it
most of them are?
Okay,
it's an antifreeze type thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Nissan actually doesn't do that, and they've had some trouble in the most hot climates. In Phoenix, where it gets 125 during the day, which means your road surface is 170.
Yeah, gosh.
Yeah.
They do actually have some battery life problems. Most parts of the country, not an issue. But nonetheless, over time, cells lose energy capacity. And the big question is, we don't have 15 years of data on electric cars.
Right.
We barely have 12 years of data on hybrids, right?
Right.
And we do know that hybrid batteries over time have lost some capacity. We're starting to see in sort of 12-year-old hybrid cars that, you know, battery packs will go out.
Can they be changed out?
They can be swapped out.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Here's the interesting thing. Everybody was terrified at the beginning of hybrids because in 2000, when the Toyota Prius came out, that very first Prius,
yes,
a replacement battery pack was $9,800 right, on a $20,000 car.
Well, right. It didn't make any sense.
That
at
same
all.
Battery pack yeah. is now $2,400.
All right. Okay. No, it's getting
so
better.
Prices do come down.
Plus, all the manufacturers, because of everybody freaking out about it, started offering extended warranties yeah. on the batteries, right?
Yeah.
So we just don't know how long they're going to last, is really the bottom line.
The car batteries will lose capacity. The definition for a car is the battery is at the end of its useful life when it's got about 70% of its original energy capacity left. But the interesting thing is those batteries will have a long secondary life. One of my favorite sort of notions, wave at me if I'm over talking.
No, I'm learning so much.
One of my favorite notions is it costs about $25,000 to put solar on your house, right? Solar photovoltaic.
Yeah.
Suppose you could cut that to $10,000 of solar photovoltaic and tie it to a used Nissan Leaf battery.
Right.
You can not only generate your own power, you can store it instead of feeding it into the grid. And what the utilities love is they can say, all right, so I see that your house now has 14 kilowatt hours of electricity stored in your basement. I will pay you to knock you off the grid for 3 hours on that hot, humid afternoon where everybody in the world has cranked up their AC to 11.
It's like smart grid technology or whatever. Yeah. It's part of that whole thing where it's about timing and when. Yeah, I like that. Right. I think that's brilliant.
It's a lot to learn. I mean, it's a lot to keep track of but it's like a learning process.
I'll tell you.
Learning curve.
I'm shopping for a car and I'm convinced that I want to get some kind of electric, mm-hmm. whether it's an EV only or EV, plug-in hybrid. But it's definitely got me thinking about the electric usage, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be more committed to finding renewable resources for, which, we have that option in New Jersey. There's several different companies that mm-hmm. help provide, more renewable. I don't think you can get 100%. I certainly am not going to get it on this house with solar panels.
Mm-hmm. But here's a question for you. Does your local electric utility have either an off-peak program where power, say, between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. is a lot cheaper.
Right.
Because, especially in California, people now set their dryers to dry their clothes at 3 a.m. because the power is much cheaper then.
Yes, I believe we do. I believe we do.
Do they, alternatively, have a special electric car charging rate?
Oh.
Because
I'm sure they do in California.
Some utilities do.
All those compliance cars.
And that's the next thing. If you talk to your power company, do they want to know when someone's going to buy an electric car? In California, they've been doing this for years. Southern California Edison has a whole chunk of its website, and they're basically saying, so you're thinking of buying one of those plug-ins, right? We like plug-ins. Plug-ins are good. They're clean. They help carbon. But please tell us where you live, because what they want to do is make sure that if you're going to have, let's say you have a cul-de-sac and you got 14 households, right? Some parts of California, you got 5 or 6 Priuses in that cul-de-sac, right? Mm-hmm. If 3 of those Priuses become electric cars in a 6-month period, they need to look at the neighborhood transformer.
Oh.
It's not going to bring down the grid. We have plenty of power. It's not
but
an issue overall.
It does increase the load.
It's the local transformer. And utilities are used to looking at load. They replace local transformers all the time. You knock down some nice little bungalow and put up a McMansion, they look at the neighborhood transformer because of a sudden you got five times the draw.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with electric cars. Ask your power company, and this really applies
to
anyone who's thinking.
You have to talk to Wayne because he's an electrical engineer. He works in the power generation.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll understand this better than me.
It's good
Although John
Not
is really
hard.
No, John is really good at explaining things in such a way that, a Green Diva might understand it.
I
think all the Green Divas should call the power company and just say, hey, I heard on this show about electric cars. I'm thinking of buying one. What do I need to know?
Yeah.
And see how they respond. Yeah. Do they have a webpage?
I think that's a brilliant.
That kind
of if
stuff.
You do that, could you please let us know, whether it's via Twitter or Facebook or our website?
Yes.
Let us know, because then we pass the results on to John, and we have a whole circle of information flowing here. Yep. So
yes,
that would
we
be
do.
Really brilliant. So if I wanted a Fiat 500e, I have
how
to
you
go
feel
to
about living in California?
She's no, but can I go out there and buy it and drive it back here? I mean, will I have trouble charging it here
or maintaining it?
They charge on a standard electric car charger, just like the one that Meg has in her driveway.
Yeah.
It's the same plug that all electric cars use, except Tesla, which is a separate case. here's the problem. If it does need some kind of maintenance, your local Fiat dealer hasn't heard from 500e.
Yeah, that's what
the
I'm
only
thinking.
Dealers that they're equipping with charging stations at the dealer with the special diagnostic tools to look at the battery packs are in that area.
In California, yeah.
Well, so there are definitely risks.
Well, that's a bummer.
Well, we'll just keep plugging away, man.
We will. Yeah, we will.
So to speak.
Exactly.
I didn't even mean it, man. I'm so clever and I don't even know it.
So, John, if you had one, like...
No, wait. I got one. Oh. We have 4 minutes and I do have a question.
Okay.
Because I want to, before we go, I want to say, you know, I'm shopping for a car. Mm-hmm. You've heard the whole, you know, story ad nauseum. What would you recommend for me?
Based on the cars that are available today,
yep.
A couple of qualifying questions first.
Okay.
Do you need to be able to hold 5 people in your car, or is 4 enough?
I think 4 is okay.
Okay. And you already said you want maximum electric range,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Because 11 just is just not enough.
Yep. As many plug-in, you can think of the plug-in Prius as the gateway drug.
gives you just enough, and then you want more.
Yeah. So there's really sort of 3 vehicles to consider. You've already driven the C-Max Energy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. There's also the Fusion Energy,
yes,
which is in my opinion, a beautiful-looking mid-size sedan.
It is. We were picked up at the airport, remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like an Aston Martin.
And they're sending me 2 of those in August to play with. Yes.
Great. So you'll have
that. Are they sending you?
I'll tell you in a minute.
So okay. Those have a rated 21 miles of range. So that's the highest of the plug-in hybrids. Then you get to the Volt at 38, and then you go up into a battery electric. So because Wayne has a car, too,
right,
you can look at, could we actually live with a pure battery electric vehicle,
right,
for one car if it has... Now, this is Jersey. Jersey has winter,
right,
so that 76 miles of range, if you're blasting the heat,
yeah,
is more like 50 or 55.
Yeah,
okay?
I can get away with that.
Can you live with a car that only has 55 miles of range, and then he has the other car with a gasoline engine of some sort?
And I say yes.
Okay. So then look at a Leaf.
Okay.
Look at a Volt, and look at the 2 Fords.
The Fusion and the...
The Fusion C-Max. And the C-Max, yeah. Energy, the plug-ins. Mm-hmm. The BMW i3 is going to be more expensive than that. You could look at the Smart Electric Drive, but it only has 2 seats.
Right.
And it's, I think it's 68 miles of range. And it's really much more of a local car just because it is so small.
Well, I don't think I would feel safe on the highway in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to tool around. We should tell John our Maserati Quattroporte.
Oh, that was funny. And we got 2 minutes and then we got to go.
I'll make it very quick. We're at the Detroit Auto Show in January, so we go up to the Maserati, and of course, you had to be invited in.
Oh,
they had the glass enclosure and these like 6-foot models who were wearing 5-inch heels. So, God, you know, it was like a beautiful display.
Booth professionals.
Oh my gosh! Exactly. I mean, unbelievable. The cars and the models were like perfect together. So that having been said, we go up to it and we're looking at this car. Oh, the two of us are just kind of like. It was beautiful.
Yeah, we're like down below the
display. Yeah, down below, just kind of got like these 2 little sawed-off divas. Hello. And so the guy comes over to, I think, big burly guy.
The PR guy, because they were doing
an interview. TV, yeah. Yes, right. We were watching the interview. So to make a long story short, I asked the guy, do you have a green car? So he goes, well, now let me think about this a minute. And he had like this very kind of standoffish way of talking. He goes, well, yes, we did a green for Peter Sellers when he was dating Elkie Summers. And so Meg and I look at each other and we go, no, not the color green.
Yeah. He said we did a special seafoam.
Special seafoam green for Peter Sellers. Yeah. Meg and I just go,
No.
It was very funny. I don't think
we
Maserati.
We gotta go, guys.
That was 2 minutes.
John, thank you so much. People, go to greencarreports.com and look at John's reports and all the other writers there. But it's really...
It's good. This is the go-to. It's the Bible for these cars. So we appreciate
it.
No, you're welcome.
Glad to see you all in person.
Can you come out again?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yay.
Not next week, but yes.
No. We'd love to have you out. And then we'll go for dinner or something.
Cool. All right. Everybody have a great Green Week. Thanks again, John. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.